Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
In what ways will the American people feel this transfer of power immediately?
Bob, I think the most immediate experience by the American people will be what President-elect Biden, then will be President Biden, will do through executive orders, rolling back some of the great things that President Trump has done. Legislatively, I think the Biden administration is going to have a very difficult time. The Senate is 50-50, and yes, there's a tiebreaker in terms of the incoming Vice President Harris. But the fact is, the Senate has rules that require 60 votes. And Senator Manchin from West Virginia, a Democrat, has made it very clear that he is not willing to relinquish that filibuster rule, is what it's called, that requires 60 votes to move anything.
Yeah.
I also think in the House, the numbers are historically going to be as tight of a margin in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And that means that Mrs. Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, is not going to be able to lose any votes. And I think the votes that are most at risk are those remaining moderate Democrats who know that the progressive agenda does not serve them well in their congressional districts.
Yeah, by the time the president-elect puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath, President Trump, former President Trump at that time, will be in Florida, first president to not attend the inauguration of his successor since, I believe it was Andrew Johnson, back in the 1800s. You mentioned a little bit some of the president's legacy, and of course, there's great debate about how culpable he is for what happened on the 6th. But if you would, Congressman, talk about some of the accomplishments of President Trump during his 4 years in office.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I do think, Bob, that what we're talking about right now are emotional issues, and emotions tend to wane, but the impact of real results last. And so I think as President Trump's legacy is written, you know, let's just start with the pandemic of our lifetime. You know, the president actually saved this nation. Operation Warp Speed, what he was able to do, he accomplished in 10 months, but historically in the past has always taken 10 years. He led this country in creating the strongest economy in our history. Can you imagine what 2020 would have been like without that type of a robust economy? It would have been like the Great Depression, where people were literally jumping off roofs. How much worse it would have been without 3 years of that Trump economy. And then you put on top of that foreign policy, the world is a much safer place today. We don't hear about ISIS. We don't hear about Al-Qaeda. We hear about historical peace agreements, something no one else has been able to do. You look at the energy independence we've been able to gain. That's certainly been good for my state of Pennsylvania, but it's been good for every American, mm-hmm. Where we are independent in terms of our energy. The list goes on and on and on of the things that, quite frankly, we should be very thankful and very proud of President Trump has provided for this nation.
Not the least of which those three Supreme Court justices, which when you think to the checks and balances, they may be the last line of defense to hold back a far-left agenda. So that, too, I think of as being one of his greatest lasting impacts.
Absolutely. And time-wise, the effects of that will be felt for a couple generations.
So they're going to try to get the people's business done while at the same time convening an impeachment trial, kind of rubbing your head, patting your belly kind of a thing. I don't know how they're going to do it. But what right out of the gates, GT, you got this $1.9 trillion COVID package that Joe Biden wants to get passed. What are some things immediately that you think Republicans and Democrats can work together on in a bipartisan way to help the American people?
Oh, absolutely. I would put transportation infrastructure at the top of that list. We know that's long overdue. That includes rural broadband. It's not just roads and bridges, airports. There's so much I think that we could easily come to an agreement. Mm-hmm. It's also an investment. If the economy is struggling and still sluggish, quite frankly, because of a lot of governors and how they've shut their states down economically for the better part of a year, this could be a catalyst to help spark that economic activity. And I think in terms of the divisions our nation has faced, perhaps the most divisive election in our lifetime, and almost split right down the middle.
Yeah.
These are the types of legislative policies working together, I think, that would also help to lead in the healing this nation.